Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Jazz Call on the 23rd of August. On the call, we have Rafik Damak, Carlton Samuels, Tijani Benjima, Carlos Aguirre, Olivier Crapin-Leblanc, Alan Greenberg, Evan Leibovich, Avery Doria, and Andrew Mack. For staff, we have Kurt Pritz, Seth Green, Wendy Prophet, Rob Hogarth, and myself, Glenda Sangeri. We have apologies from Alex Kukuru, Cheryl Langdon Orr, who will try to be on the Adobe Connect because she is on a CCNSO council call, Sintra Suknan, Bodwan Shombi, and Dev Anand Tiluk Singh. Have I left anybody off? Just before I hand over to Carlton and Rafik, may I ask you please to say your names before you speak for the transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to both of you, Carlton and Rafik.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Good to see you all. Good to see you all on this Jazz Call. Today, we are going to look at the support application review panel that is, you've introduced a new acronym here, SARP, pronounced SARP. And this piece of text is on beginning on page 29 of the most recent version of the final report, draft final report, which has been posted on the Wiki landing page, and the part of it is in the notes section of the Adobe Connect room. I will also encourage you to look at the other piece, which is it says support recovery, which is just one small piece. I thought we might as well throw it in today. I don't think this will be too controversial a piece. To remind everyone, your SOIs should be in to the staff and to chairs. And we would like to, I want to make one small, before I go to Alan, one small note. We neglected to give some recognition to Devanand Tilak Singh, who was the original person that we put to look at the workflow support application workflow that was discussed last week. I personally asked Dev to begin to look at it, and he, of course, diligently went about it and presented a first pass at it, which was subsequently changed by additional input from members. So I just want to make that correction, that it was Dev who was looking at this flowchart for us from the start. And as usual, I thank Dev for his support. He's always been very supportive of anything I do. Before we begin to look, Alan has his hand up. Can I have Alan?
Thank you. Before we start on the substance, I'd like a review of the timetable. I know there's been discussion on the GNSO council list, but as of the last schedule I saw, this is our second to last meeting. If that's still the case, I think we need to address how we're actually going to get the report completed in that time frame. If the schedule has changed, I'd like to know. Thank you.
This is the second to last meeting on the schedule. Alan, what I'm going to propose for the chat, and then I have to speak to Rafik before we do that, is that we kind of telescope the funds and foundation and FAC into the meeting, and we go for Friday, and then we go to next Tuesday to do the final review and approval. I am going to suggest to Rafiq, based on what he knows of the GNSO processes. So we will look at it.
Thank you, Carter. I sent the request last week to the GNSO Council if we can have an extra days and to delay the deadline. There is no action yet from the GNSO Council. There is a kind of deadline that if there is no real objection in Wednesday, so it means that we will have a few days in September, so we can work in the report. But I cannot guarantee that now. So till tomorrow, if seeing how the discussion will go in the GNSO Council, I can update in that matter. So now we are following the previous planning and schedule, but if there is any change, I will update the working group as soon as possible.
Thank you, Rafiq. So, Alan, that's the best we can do. We have it online, but we can't make a determination. But as I said, that we anticipate that we'll have at least one more bite of the apple next week to finalize.
I just wanted to get it on the record before we started the substance of this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Rafiq, you had something else to say, sir? Your hand is still up, or is this from the last time? Okay. So, can we now go and focus on the text? We are beginning at paragraph 74 of the current draft report, and you'll find that on page 29 of the current draft report. As I say, the current draft report is on the landing page. You can get to it from the Wiki landing page. If those of you who might not be able to find it, you will see the information that we are going to talk about in the notes window of the Adobe Connect. Any comment on 74 as it's stated here? Let me ask a question. The term "the right sort of panel," are members happy with the use of that terminology, or should we be a little more specific? Andrew, you have the hand up.
Thanks. I went through the document yesterday and last night, so my comments didn't make it all the way through, but Seth has them. Yeah, that's one of the things that I pointed out, was that the right sort seemed a little bit too vague. One of the things I think is important for us is to maintain the same tone throughout the document and the same kind of level of precision, and this one didn't seem to make the bar. When we're talking about the right sort, we're talking in specific terms about a group that is that has the right expertise that comes from the different appropriate stakeholder groups and includes, if I'm understanding correctly, at least some people who are not volunteers, partly because we recognize the limitations of an all-volunteer group, and partly because it's just good to have some people whose job it is to do this. Am I understanding the sense of our working group correctly?
No, I'm on a teleconference. I didn't call you back. Yes, I'm at home.
Okay, so our chair is taking the call. Anyway, did that make sense to everybody else?
It certainly made sense to me, Andrew. I mean, what is important, as you say, is that we have the right, we keep the tone of the document consistent. And, I try to delay my comments until everybody has said anything, but it's what I wanted it confirms what my thinking is, your thoughts. Avery, you have the floor?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, in 74, perhaps the language there is wordsmithable. But what we're trying to, I think what we do want to say is that we do need the right mix. And in fact, when you get to paragraph 75, it does start talking in more detail about what the right mix is. Now, there's the question that's been going back and forth in the discussion between Alan and I as to the foreground, background discussion of volunteers or staff. And I think at the moment, having listened to Alan's issues, and I'm sort of proposing a middle ground that I don't know has gotten into this yet, is that at its core, I still believe it needs to be a volunteer panel with people with the right skills and even perhaps set up on the model given below. But it needs to have a fair degree of experts. My problem with the normal external evaluation panel that the staff has been doing is that those have been set up completely by the staff with absolutely no say-so by the rest of the community on who does it, on how it's done, on what kind of agreements are made with experts, et cetera. It's a completely black box thing between the staff and the dispute resolution panel. So I'm definitely arguing that we do not want the dispute resolution panel model. And I was arguing more for something similar to the AOC panels that we've set up. Alan has made very good arguments about that not being appropriate. So at the moment, I think what I'd like to be arguing for is something that's hybrid, that at its base, at its core, is the volunteers of community-wide distribution and of the right skill set. And, for example, the ICANN gaming experts have to come from the community. No one knows how to game ICANN like we do. But that experts in development economy, in funding models, in such as that, need to be gotten external, but need to be gotten externally under the supervision. I mean, by the staff, but under the supervision of this panel. So I think I'm arguing for a hybrid, but of course the words, the right sort of panel, yeah, it sounds like we want people with dainty teacups and their fingers in the air and the right sort of people. And so that expression is problematic. But we do want the right sort of panel. Thanks.
I will leave it to Alan to because he's next on the board. But my reading of Alan's comment about his reservations about the AOC type panel, Avery, I think if he explains it, you will probably see you meet where the hybrid line is. But Alan, you have the board, sir. You're next.
Yeah. First of all, thank you. Just to clarify one thing, Avery said. She said the discussion between us has been whether it should be volunteer or staff. I never, and I don't believe anyone ever said it should be staff.
If that was an accident, what I meant was a staff-created dispute resolution panel.
Okay, fine. Okay, clearly we don't want staff on this group. ICANN needs to isolate itself to some extent.
That's my understanding of what you were saying.
I understand. I just wanted to clear up the wording because there was never a discussion of this being done by staff. I don't disagree with Avery that there has to be involvement from the community in determining exactly what the composition of this group is. I just think that relying primarily on the community, number one, is fraught with problems because of time commitment issues. It's a real problem. You know, people have real jobs. They get sick. They have personal lives. And doing something on such a tight timeline with what I believe may well be, we don't know how to what extent it's going to be, but may well be a large job, because we don't know how many applications are going to become like this, but, you know, there could be 100 of them. This is going to be a very, very time-consuming job, potentially. So I worry about that aspect. I worry about the concept of using the AOC model, which essentially says equal representation from all the communities, which, you know, translates to, you know, forgive me, but the GNSO end up saying, you know, we need one for each stakeholder group or one from each constituency. I'm not sure that's the way you make a you want to set this kind of panel up. With everyone representing their own constituency, we're trying to look at something for the good of the community first, and not the who sent them first. So I have some real problems with what's being described. I can live with it, but it's very far from optimal in my mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So just to, before I go to Shijani, I'm trying here to see that we keep focused on this. The question of a hybrid panel is accepted by the arguments. It's just the details as to how we choose the panel and the kinds of expertise that the panel needs to have is the issue. We are all agreed that this is not a panel for staff to choose, but for us to make into. That's what I'm hearing. Tijani, you have the floor, sir.
Oh, excuse me, one more thing before I finish. The question of whether these non-volunt, non-community people are paid or not has not been addressed. The question
Yes, that, you know, that's something I wanted to ask too. Because if they are paid, where would the funds come from? Would we have to say that we would not expect them to be paid from the fund, or from monies raised to support? Would that be appropriate? That's something that we have to address, and we would have to add a paragraph, I presume here. What I'm thinking of is that we can expand paragraph 75. As I've pointed out, some of the things that we are talking about is already included there. There might be some expansion that is possible. But the issue of, if depending on the balancing of the panel and its required expertise from the outside, who pays for that? Tijani, go ahead, please, sir.
Yes, thank you. While I fully support the position of Avery, I do understand the worries of Alan, and it is a real problem, if you want. But we don't have any other choice. There is the staff or the community, and I do prefer the community. Second point, the experts must be paid. There is not, we cannot have real experts without paying them. So the idea is to have a panel composed of volunteers from the community, based on first the willing, because if people doesn't have the willing, they will not attend, they will not work, and we will fail. So first the willing, second the competence. It's very important. We will not put people that don't understand the question to be on the panel. And third, the availability. So those things have to be clearly defined and said to the people who will volunteer to be on this panel. The panel will be the core or the body that will decide on the evaluation. And the panel will be assisted by the experts. So the experts can be engaged by the ICANN staff, but they will report. They will help the panel. So the panel is, if you want, is the decision body.
Okay. Thank you, Tijani. So,
second point. Moment, please. Yes. Second point, paragraph 75. We are talking about the panel who should be composed, etc. And you said that it will decide on the financial support and for the fee reduction only. I prefer to say that he will decide on the eligibility. So any kind of support, any kind of support, financial support, fee reduction, all kind of support will pass through this panel. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. So with respect to the panel and the hybrid nature of it, Tijani has made one very important process proposal that while you will have experts are there to advise the panel, and they're not necessarily part of the panel, but they're advisors to the panel. Avery has also put up in the chat a quick response to the payment of non-volunteers issue, but I'll leave it to her now. Avery, you have the floor.
Thank you. Yeah, okay. On the AOC, I understand Alan's point, and probably, you know, it would be a modified AOC, but it would be, you know, for example, just sitting here, I would think that, for example, all of the regions of ALAC should be represented on such a panel, and perhaps the four stakeholder groups, or maybe just the two houses of the GNSO. But I think that's something that we should probably put in the recommendation. And then otherwise, and then some notion of GAC representation and how we go from there. So I think it would be a modified. I certainly don't see us going to every constituency. And I do think that probably ALAC should, or at large rather, should, because of its, you know, closeness to the user community and the GNSO, because this is about GTLDs, should indeed have the major representation in such a panel. But I do believe that having people from CCNSO and ESSEC, because remembering that it should extend, and this is, I think, going to Johnny's point, but beyond, to any aid, which includes if somebody comes with the proposal for how to create and a registry service provider in one of the regions. That's something that they would bring to this panel as well. And so you want people there that also understand. So you want the RSAC person there to be able to look at it and say, that's a bad proposal. That's, you know, and you want the security people there to be able to raise the flag on security. So they may not need to be there in the same proportion, but you definitely need them. In terms of volunteers, I think that people that volunteer for these AOC panels have indeed done amazing work, even though they were volunteers. And, of course, they have to be volunteers who know that they can commit from January to, you know, 6 months later, an immense amount of time. And that's their personal responsibilities. I agree that the staff is there to help them. So, on the payment, first of all, there was a paragraph 76 that talked about where the expenses would come from, and I think that was in the original proposal. And, you know, obviously we have to pay non-volunteers, otherwise they are volunteers. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Andrew, we'll go straight to you. You have the floor, sir.
Okay, thanks very much, Carlton. I am hearing what you say, Avery and Tijani, and agree in principle that we want this to be as much as possible community-driven. I have grave doubts based on just the experience that we've had and some of the other experiences that I've heard from other people who are working on these kind of longer-term working groups, that we'll be able to maintain the level of volunteer support if it's really only a volunteer grouping. And I don't know whether the right answer is to try to find a way to compensate for some of the volunteer time or whether the better response is to have some sort of a blended group. I agree completely that we don't want this to be dominated by staff or experts or whoever, you know, some sort of paid group, but realistically, I think we're asking a tremendous amount of volunteers, and what may very well happen is, to some extent, what happened with a group like this, which is that you have four or five or six, or in this case on the call today, what is it, nine people who are really committed and have the time, but also that they suffer from burnout. And when we have even more on the table, including more resources to give away on the table, I think it makes it very, very difficult. To some extent, I think it would be very helpful for us to have some people who were just paid for the time, so that they really, you know, they really could devote a little bit more fairly constant focus, and for no other reason than to give us a sense of continuity throughout. I don't think it's fair, frankly, to ask a volunteer to serve for, if this is as big a responsibility as it sounds like it might be, I don't think it's fair to ask them to serve for a year on this. I just think it'd be a lot to do. So I'm trying to find the right balance between the two, but to really take into account the fact that people do have real lives.
Thank you, Andrew. I think you've said some things here that seriously require some attention. Avery has responded very directly to what you're saying, because if I'm hearing you correctly, you are saying that it might be useful to consider actually compensating some volunteers. That's what I'm asking. And I'm also hearing you saying that you should include directly in the panel some experts, outside experts, working directly as members of the review panel, as opposed to Jeanne's proposal that experts are advisors to the panel, not exactly in the panel itself. Would I be correct in that assessment, sir? Andrew, just to get back to you before I go to Kurt.
Right, sure. I will try. In terms of your first question as to whether or not we compensate volunteers, I don't know if that's the right way to go with it. I do know that it's very, very difficult for there to be a diversity of opinion and to get more people into this process without having some way to take account for their time. And if we look at just the amount of burnout that we've had on this panel and how much people are really committed to it, but, you know, it's been going on for a year and a half now, and it's a lot. And, weddings and vacations and actual paying work and all kinds of other things, I think we have to try to find some way to balance that out. Otherwise, we are really asking of people something that I think is unrealistic, and in many instances we'll get a very, very narrow group of people who have the time that may or may not be representative and may or may not, you know, just be able to stay with it. So that's I'm not sure is the first question. The answer to the first question. The answer to the second question about including experts as part of the vote, I think especially as we get to technical issues, that would probably be appropriate. But again, it depends on the composition. If the volunteers can find a way, if we can find a way to get enough volunteers with enough diversity, then I have no, you know, I have no problem with doing it. To Johnny says, I do think to follow on what one of the things that Aubrey said, we do want to make sure that we have the expertise there at the table, and so for those instances, it strikes me as logical that those people would have some sort of a vote. But again, the mechanism I'm open to. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Just before I go to Kurt, who has his hand up, can I just make two small claims? Rob has put in a very helpful point and says, do we also need to discuss timeline in the work to be done? Because, as Andrew said, that it might involve a long-term commitment and potential conflicts of interest may be handled. This is Rob asking that. I'm bringing that up now because as I look to where I think we are pretty much at the point where we are suggesting that the text here be augmented. Evan has put a talking point in that says preference, one-third ALAC appointed. He's speaking now of SARP. One-third ALAC appointed, one-third GSO appointed, one-third staff contracted experts. So it's back to the idea of saying that we have a panel, and the panel is a mix of volunteer and outside experts. where the outside experts themselves are directly part of the panel. That's what ALAC, Evan has pointed out. The issue there, it goes back to the issue of, well, you know, if we start saying that Alan was worrying about that, then we have all kinds of politics involved in coming up with a panel. But the overarching concern I have here is that we need to think about the kinds of augmentation, the text augmentation here, because it seems to me what we're saying is that we have to tease out some more the attributes of attributes of the panelists, the kinds of expertise that would be required here, if we could think about the exact text that we need to augment this statement, it would be very helpful to Robin and the people who have the pen on this. Kurt, you have the floor, sir.
Thanks for letting me speak here. First, I agree with what I think is the majority of the sentiment that this evaluation effort should be independent of staff, and the evaluation panel should be chosen independent of staff. And staff is in the business of, receiving the applications and I don't think should be involved in a preliminary evaluation in any way, even in forming the panel, although it stands by ready to assist any volunteer group. Second, I think at the end of the day, we want to treat the dollars we have to give to applicants like liquid gold. And so, I would urge that we use volunteers as much as possible. And then third, as a possible solution for that, we might look at the RSEP model, and that's the Registry Services Evaluation Panel, where there's something like 25 or 30 panel members on standby, but they're convened in groups of four or five, and in that way the work is spread out, and so not so much work on each of the panels, so the work can be spread out. In this case, the work can be spread out by regions, because you probably want people from the same region, at least some people from the same region, involved in the evaluation of those panels. And then, second, the workload is kind of ameliorated because this will be, I think, a short term effort. So, considering applications up through the application window. So I think that if we have a short term window and we can spread the work around several panels,
Thank you, Kurt. So this is an interesting takeaway here. Kurt is suggesting that if we think about the panel and we look at the attributes of the panel and the expertise required, we might want to have a large pool of panelists, and we empanel people to work on the evaluation based on the origination of the candidate. That's what I'm hearing him say. So, for example, if you have a panel, you still need the same set of experts, but you may rotate them where they come from based on what has been discussed and what has been decided. That might be a good way to look at it. It makes sense to me. Tijani, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you. Paying or giving money to the volunteers will not give them more time to be available, so it will not solve the problem. So I stick with the proposal of the volunteers. We have a very good example, the AOC review team. They were volunteers, and they did a wonderful job in a timely manner. So I don't know why we are so afraid of this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Kurt is, his hand is still up. Kurt, do you have anything else to say, or is it from the last time?
Yeah, it's from the last time. I'll take it down.
Thank you. Okay, so we have two other bits of grist for the mill, as it were. The first one is that we have with regard to the panel, we have a model that Curtis suggested that we might look at for guidance. That's the RCEP model, and essentially, it is a question of having a large pool, and then we have working groups, working members from that panel. We choose a panel, and the panel we choose is somehow going to be influenced by what is before them by virtue of origination or whatever. So what I'm hearing is that we have a larger panel, a large group from which we can choose people who will work on different applications at one time. I also note Tijani's comment that it's not a question of just compensating volunteers. And when I was making reference to compensation, I was presuming that this panel will need to meet face to face at some point, and so there has to be some expenses incurred, and those are the expenses I was thinking of. I'm not talking about ink, but time so much as the expenses that incur from serving on this panel, just to make sure that what I was saying is not about compensating people for time, but meeting the expenses, which is what is covered in 76. The issue of the time that Andrew raised has also some implications, because it's always about how much time is available. And like Tijani, I don't believe that just saying you're going to compensate people for time is going to make the time available. Tijani, you have your hand up?
Yes. Do you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing
okay.
You.
Okay, thank you. I am okay with a large panel. It's a good idea, but even if it is very large, each member of the panel must commit to be available any time for the panel. The idea of Kurt is good, and we can imagine that when we will discuss something, there is some members there compulsory to attend this meeting or this call, and others can attend but perhaps can be absent. And for other items to be discussed, some other people are compulsory to be present and others cannot. But all can attend, all can be on the panel all the time. The most important thing is the commitment and the availability. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. You didn't say it, Tijani, but I also hear you say that the expertise of the panelists is also important.
Yes,
as a practical matter.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is anyone else? There's nobody on the board at the minute wanting to speak. Do you all believe we have exhausted this? We have a sense of what is griping this group. We need the text augmented. We need the text augmented in terms of more attribute definition of the panelists. We need the text augmented to perhaps give some guidance as to how this panel could operate. And we need some guidance. We need some augmentation in the text to recommend a set of criteria for the panel. Rob, you have your hand up, sir. I was hoping I would have teased you out.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Both Avery and Evan had some suggestions about the panel makeup in the chat. Do you think it's worthwhile to try to get some consensus on either of those? Because what I picked up is that you know, clearly the makeup is primarily not staff. It's not primarily community volunteers, but it's a combination of volunteers, outside experts, and some staff management. It would be helpful if you did have some specific numbers, you know, whether there's a consensus that gathers around Aubrey's numbers of, I think, 25% breakup, or Evan's third. It might be helpful if you think, as chair, you can tease that out in the next couple of minutes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. If we kind of go back to that, let's see, have some definition here. Evan had suggested a panel that was comprised of a third appointed by a third by GNSO, and one third staff contracted experts, which is to say the panel is the experts contracted are included in the panel itself. That was Evan's suggestion. Avery's suggestion was that you have a quarter from the large, a quarter from GNSO, a quarter from other ACSOs, and she made the point. I don't remember if it's Agri, but the RSAC people, for example, would be key to this. I think that's where she's trying to bring them in. A quarter expert members, and she has specialized advisors from the outside. So her advisors in this instance are not part of the panel per se, but are expert advisors. So these are the two models.
Can I make a correction on that?
Yes, please do.
Ms. Avery, what I was differentiating was two kinds of experts, that a quarter of the panel would be, in the wording you used for Evans, would be staff contracted outside experts. And then there were also, so they would be members of the panel. They would be one quarter of the voting members of the panel, as in Evan's model and as suggested, I think, by Andrew, that there would also be other specialized contracted experts for who knows what topics that the panel needed that would not be voting members of the panel. So basically that the experts were of two varieties is what I was getting at. That if the panel is sitting there and saying, oops, we need someone who's an expert on economics in Botswana, and none of us has that expertise, you could go out and get that person to help you evaluate that one particular set of applications, is the kind of flexibility that I was thinking of there, whereas you would have a person who was a development economics person as a permanent member of, you know, and that's just a for example of the panel. So it was doing that, and of course, I think both Evan and I left out the, and of course, staff management and administration.
Thank okay, you. Thank you. I was about to say, Avery, that in response to your suggestion, I see some closing of the gap because Evan did respond in the chat and said that works too. So, which tends to suggest that he's now closer to your position. So, what we have to do is to look at this proposal that you have made here. Andrew, I see you're trying to write something. You want to say it so we can close up?
Sure. No, I think I'm agreeing violently with what I think is Avery and Evan's evolving position. We have two kinds of experts. One kind of expert would be on the panel as voting members and participants over the long term, providing both expertise and a sense of longevity as volunteers come and go. And then the second group would be more ad hoc like consultants who would advise the panel as needed, as contracted, on the basis of specific pieces of expertise that the panel did not otherwise have. The Botswana example might be one, some specifics related to security or business model or whatever might be another that jumped into my mind. So, but I think we're all on the same page now.
Wonderful. Thank you, Andrew. Tijani, just to get your vote on this, sir, do you see this as something that would work for you too?
The proposal of Avery works for me.
Oh, wonderful. All right, so Rob, there you have it.
Yes, thanks. That was helpful.
thank you very much, Rob. We are good to go. Okay, So can we just deal with this last piece, and so we can get out for this minute, and the support recovery portion. This is in the current draft, paragraph 78, 79, and 80. This is the sense of this here is that if somebody gets a grant some support, then depending on how successful they are, the expectation is that they would pay back into the fund. Avery?
Yeah.
You're on the...
Okay, we're on 76 or 77?
Oh, no, I think we are... I thought we had...
Recovery?
Yes, we are in support recovery, 78, 79.
That one, there was still the issue, and I don't think we've ever discussed... We discussed the issue at length of people paying back the monies they were given. So if you've gotten funding to start an RFP, that's money that goes back to the fund. If you've gotten funding because you got a grant to buy equipment, then you're able to pay that back into the fund. And I suppose with the non-financial grants, the only way to pay that back is to pay it forward, and you've got an obligation to help people in the future, and I'm not quite sure how that's structured. I don't think we ever got into the what is the responsibility for payback from those that got fee reduction. Now, there's one part of me that says, yeah, that should be paid into the fund as well for future applicants. And so I guess my starting position on is yes, that should be included in the payback model, but I don't think we've ever discussed it, so I figured I'd say both of those things. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. Andrew, you have the floor, sir, and then followed by Alan.
Thanks. A brief comment, because I also have to go at 10. This is something I made a comment on in when I reviewed the document. I'm a little concerned about this. I hear what you're saying, Aubrey, but I'm a little concerned about this in terms of our position on fee reductions, generally speaking. I wonder if that doesn't undermine our argument for fee reductions. And that's partly because we're making the argument that some of these fees either are overstated or shouldn't really apply to this class of citizens. And if we're offering to rebate that portion of it, the other parts I completely agree, but if we're offering to rebate that portion of it, I think that we jeopardize our broader argument, and I don't think that that's – I know that that's not anyone's intent, but I think that's the way it might be read. Thanks.
Can I respond? Well, I put myself in the queue.
Yes, please. Please respond right away.
Okay.
Just give her one moment, Alan, please.
I actually disagree. I don't think it undermines it, because remember we're saying that if you become a financial success, and I think that whatever reasons we have for why these fees shouldn't apply, the point is if the fee is reduced and they get rich, then retroactively them putting money in the pot for people who still can't apply becomes very reasonable. The criteria, though, is that they have to be financially successful. It's not that they owe the money and have to pay it. It's that they owe the money if they get to be very rich off of their thing. If they don't, well, then it's not an issue.
I wouldn't even say owe. I would say that they have an obligation.
Yeah.
If I can make a quick comment to try and square the circle. I think that the answer to this is to not connect the one to the other, to say that for anyone who receives jazz support, who becomes very successful, we should have some sort of a payback provision, but not have it connected to the specific fee reductions. That way, the outside audiences that might be looking at this won't connect them in their minds, thus avoiding any potential for misunderstanding or for undermining of the fee reduction argument. That's my personal reading of it.
Yes. You have the floor, sir.
I'm sorry. Did you say me?
No, Alan, it's you. It's you.
Yeah,
you're up.
Sorry. The call cut off for a second. I know Rob has had his hand up for ages. I don't know if it's to talk on this subject or something else.
My apologies. I'll take it down.
Okay. There's a whole bunch of related things here. I tend to agree that there should be some concept in repaying, maybe not the right word, but reimbursing ICANN for the discount, I think is appropriate. One of the things that changed when we went from the financial support in lieu of a discount to the discount is...
Yes, outside there?
Hello? Am I still on?
Yes, Alan.
Okay.
You are. He's not.
Okay. One of the things.
Why don't I come and see you then? Because I am.
Carlton, you're on our call.
You're on Donnie.
Okay. Let me try again. One of the things that disappeared when we went from the financial support to the discount concept is the discount becomes an all or nothing thing. We can't say we're giving you $50,000 off the fees because that's all you really need. It's either we give you zero off and you pay $185,000, or we give you $138,000 off and you pay $47,000.
Yes.
Therefore, it's going to be we can expect situations where the person gets no other financial support other than the discount, because the discount is more than enough to cover their needs to be able to step up and apply for a new GTLD. Therefore, it may be more than they need, in fact, but it doesn't look like we have a mechanism for implementing less than $138,000 if they get the binary decision of, yes, they're supportable. So the concept of being able to put something back into it, I think, is very reasonable. And I think we need to find a way to do that. It may not be repay. We may need another word for it. But because we now have a binary decision on the 138K funding or not, it becomes really problematic if there's no obligation. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So it seems to me that we have convergence here on the concept that what we're talking about is if you're successful in this, the sense of the group is that we are talking about putting something back into the fund if you're successful. And maybe we should have the text simply make it very clear that we are really talking about success and giving something back to the community. Okay, it's a minute on till the top of the hour by my watch. Do we have anything more to make of this? I see no other action. Can I therefore call this discussion to an end and this conference to an end?
Are we reconvening the drafting group? And if
we are reconvening the drafting group right after this.
On this call or call in again something?
We're going to call it again using the traditional call, which is the... the number you called, the Adiga number, and your 7308, I think, is the code. Am I correct, Rob?
I'll let Seth confirm
Seth.
That. Sorry.
Yes, Seth.
That's Ralph. Right, Alton.
Okay, so we call the traditional Adiga number.
Sorry?
And the code is 7308.
Carlton, it's Rafik.
Oh, yes, Rafik, I'm sorry. You go ahead, sir.
So we are going to have that extra call, but is it possible to have a deal out?
Yes, I'm sure it is. Can you give us a number here, Rafik, and Seth would collect it and ask for the dial out?
Okay, I can send it to
Hello, Carson. Rafik, this is Glenn.
Yes, Glenn. Go ahead, Glenn, please.
We're going on to the Adiga call now. Is that so?
Yes.
I will get you. I will get Adiga to call out to you.
Okay, so you have Rafik's call-up number, so you can call Greg. Thank you, Glenn. Very, very kind of you.
May it take a few minutes?
Yes, we expect a 5-minute break between now and then.
Okay, thanks very much.
It's a 7308.
Yes.
Code. Okay, we are going to bring this to an end. Thank you all for showing up this morning. I think we made some progress. We are going to convene the small group afterwards to make our best sense of what was said this morning, so that, and you will see that showing up in the text in a little while on the list. So, thank you, one of all. This call is ended. Take care.